May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 743. My business lies at Jesus' gate, where many a laser comes, and here I sue and here I wait for mercy's falling crumbs. 743.
holy word of God. I'll just read firstly this evening in the book of Psalms and Psalm 48. The book of Psalms, Psalm 48. And then we'll read some verses from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38. But firstly, the 48th Psalm. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God, for ever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Turning to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. Isaiah 38, verse 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till the morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word of truth. And may he now help us in prayer. Most holy and almighty and sovereign Lord God, Lord, be mindful of each one of us here tonight, as we would seek now to bow ourselves before thee in the spirit of prayer, humbly confessing all our sin. We are not worthy, Lord, to approach unto thy glorious throne, but Lord, we read it is a throne of grace through the merits of thy dear beloved Son. And so we come, Lord, pleading, confessing that name of Jesus, pleading his sin-atoning blood. And, O Lord, as we come unto thee, may we hear thy voice, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Lord, so draw us unto thine own self this night, that what we attend to here in this place shall be found acceptable before thee. For thou knowest, Lord, how we have come. Lord, we have come from busy scenes of life, various walks of life, various pathways, circumstances, and experiences. And Lord, they can so easily crowd in and hide thee from our sight. And Lord, we confess that even this day thou hast not been in all our thoughts. O Lord, do be mindful of us, remember that we are but dust. And we thank thee that we have now this time, this opportunity, this privilege, this place, to gather ourselves together before thee. And oh, may we know thy presence is with us. Thy presence known, Lord, and felt through the influence of thy Spirit. And bestow upon us, Lord, that precious gift of faith, that we may look unto thee through Christ the Lamb, for sinners slain. O Lord, remove everything that would hinder our hearts and minds from being directed to thee. Lord, keep Satan from our midst. He's a mighty foe. And in the quietness of thy house, how easily, Lord, we can stray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Lord, come. Impress that seal of thy sin-atoning blood and love upon us that causes us to look and cleave alone unto thee. Remember those, Lord, unable to be here, who would be here if they could. Thou knowest where they are, at home, if any are sick. O Lord, we commend them to thee. Duties, responsibilities, business. Lord, many things can hinder in the daily task. For we have 6 days to do our labour and all our work. O Lord, enable them to fulfill all that they must do. And do not leave their souls destitute of thy special love. May they know thou art with them. Thy good hand is upon them. And thou knowest the way that they take. We thank thee, Lord, for many mercies. Where there has been sickness, there has been recovery. Lord, where there has been the bearing of children, then has this been brought to the birth. Lord, where there has been many a difficulty and trial, all the prayers have been up unto thee. And hast thou not supplied, Lord, the daily need? Lord, there has been sorrow and bereavement in time gone by and of recent days in the family and friends, acquaintances. Lord, we pray for those who bear the mark of sorrow and of sadness. O be to them the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercy. Lord, where thou hast taken away, give more to those that feel the loss. Lord, give more of thine own self, more supplies of thy heavenly grace. We pray for those, Lord, in business, that thou wilt help them in all they undertake to do in this evil day. O Lord, what temptations and difficulties must arise. Lord, but give them thy fear, that they may walk in it. And Lord, help them to handle every matter wisely, in accordance with thy will. Lord, remember the younger generation in their education and occupation. Lord, we commend them to thee. Oh, do undertake for them, Lord, in all they put their mind and hand to. Help them to do it as if unto thee, who hath given unto them the faculties, the abilities to do that which is required of them. And Lord, be with the little children. Lord, the young ones, the babes. Oh, we commend them to thee, Lord, that thou wilt be gracious unto them. May they indeed also be a lamb of thy fold. Lord, do grant health and strength as they grow. Lord, do develop their faculties to where also in reading and understanding they desire to know more of the truth as it is in Jesus. And Lord, help parents in bringing up their children in the tender fear of the Lord. Lord, do bless their labours. And Lord, the labours of the Sunday school here, Lord, we commend that to thee. Lord, may there be signs following those labours. Words, Lord, left to abide in their heart, upon their mind, to bring forth maybe in days to come, in remembrance. Something, Lord, that is in power for the good of their soul. Lord, may there be a continuance of thy church upon this earth, even here in this place at Swavesey, through thy work in the heart and soul of the younger generations. And Lord, appear also in the older generations also, Lord, we pray. O Lord, can they not look back and see all the way the Lord their God hath led them? Oh, what mercy, Lord, to look back and see goodness and mercy hath followed me in spite of many sins all the days of our life. And Lord, we commit our days unto thee, that which is before us. We know not what they contain. But Lord, our times, are they not in thy hand? We would not have them, Lord, anywhere else. For thy hand is a merciful, kind and gracious hand. And Lord, do lead us forth by the right way, that one day we come to that glorious city, not made with hands, to be in the habitation of thee, our God. Oh, prepare us, Lord, for our latter end. We know not how short the days are, but thy word declares that our life is but as a vapour that passes away. That solemn time, that solemn day, that solemn hour is before us each. Oh, prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must that work perform. For it is all of grace. Yes, Lord, clothe us in Christ's obedience and wash us in his blood. For only, Lord, through such a work we shall lift up our heads amongst the sons of God. O Lord, work that work of grace within us each, young and old, that our latter end may be an end in peace. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon thy word of truth here. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon that which has taken place here of recent times. Lord, those thou hast sent forth and laboured here, oh, may there be a purpose in their coming, a messenger in the Lord's message. And may that word not have returned to thee void. Lord, may there have been abiding of it in many a heart. And Lord, we pray that there be ever a feeding of the bread of heaven to each needy, hungry soul. O Lord, do teach more of Christ and of his special love. Lord, do confirm in many a seeking soul, in each seeking soul, that thou art their Lord and their God, and that their treasure is above. Lord, may there be signs following the preaching of the gospel. Lord, do pour forth by thy Spirit, for the word of man will be but vain. But if attended, Lord, by thy Spirit, then surely faith will be given to those that receive it. And Lord, we know this night that without thee, we can do nothing. O come, Lord, and take of thy holy precious word, and speak through it, that it not only abides in our heads, but enters our hearts, and there to be written on the fleshy tables of our hearts, there, Lord, to do us good, and to be a lamp to our feet, and a light to our pathway. We pray, Lord, for thy church at large in this evil day. O Lord, the enemies of thy truth rise up. Those, Lord, who would love to overturn the proclamation, the preaching, the practice of the Christian faith. And Lord, we fear what they may be permitted to do. O Lord, restrain them by thy hand, for thou art almighty. And nothing happens by chance or by man's power. It is all, Lord, in accordance with thy will and thy purpose. And Lord, is not the rising up of the enemy, as we read in thy word, on account of the sins and disobedience of thy people? O Lord, we confess our sins, our failings, our shortcomings, our turning aside, our love of the things of the world more than the love of God, dependence upon the material and technology, and all that we have in this day, more than dependence upon thee. O Lord, we are guilty of many sins, but have mercy upon us. Lord, who turn our government away from their own selves. Bring them, Lord, in all these troubles that they are having to face, to know that they need a wisdom above their own. And grant them, Lord, the influence of thy Spirit. Grant them, Lord, thy tender fear. And bring them down to prayer upon their knees, where they plead with thee, Lord, yes, for mercy, for help, for guidance. And Lord, have mercy upon them, and show them what they ought to do. And so, Lord, may there be a returning to the way of truth, thy word as the foundation of the laws of our land. And oh, may we know a gracious prosperity. Lord, may our nation again return to a nation whose God is the Lord. O Lord, we pray to thee for these things, for thou alone canst do them for us. And Lord, we ask of thee the greater thing of thy mercy to our soul. Lord, if they appear so black and dark within us, what must they appear in thy holy sight? Yet, Lord, come this night, be mindful of us, and bless us with the sound of thy word of truth. Help us in the singing of thy praises. Lord, even use a word of a hymn, could it be thy will, to the profit of some soul. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 888. No wit or will of man, or learning he may boast, no power of reason can draw sinners unto Christ. So fallen is nature, such a flaw, none come except the Father draw. 888.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may indeed speak through his own word to us this night. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to part of verse 13 of Psalm 48. Psalm 48, the latter part of verse 13. That ye may tell it to the generation following. That a part of the 13th verse of Psalm 48. That ye may tell it to the generation following. What were they to tell to the generation following? The goodness. The glory, the mercy, and the faithfulness of an almighty, eternal, living God. We are not told who the psalmist was of this psalm, but he says in verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen. As we have heard, so have we seen. The psalmist had been told, no doubt, of all the way the Lord God had dealt with this chosen people, Israel. Had been told of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Of deliverance from Egypt. Redeemed from the power of Egypt. What a wonderful deliverance that was. And the leading forth through the wilderness. The hardness of their unbelieving hearts, the rebelliousness, and yet the Lord did not pour out all his wrath, but again and again he had mercy and compassion upon them, and he supplied all their need, supplied the need in a way which was impossible with man. But it was possible with God. And they learnt that man did not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God did they live. He commanded. And it was done. And by his word, dear friends, they also suffered. Chastened. They lost much in the wilderness through unbelief. And yet they were not completely destroyed. The Lord led them about, their raiment never waxed old, their feet never swelled. The Lord destroyed kings before them. Jordan divided for them. The walls of Jericho fell down for them. And the kings of the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, and so forth, they were conquered before them. And the psalmist now dwelling in Jerusalem beholds the habitation of the place where this God had placed his name. He looks at the great wars. He looks at the beautiful situation, the Mount Zion, the palaces. Go about Zion, tell the count the towers of it, consider the bulwarks and so forth. What a glorious habitation the Lord had provided for his sinful people. But dear friends, the psalmist didn't stay there. He didn't stay on what he had heard. He looked at what now is. He said, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Oh yes, the city of Jerusalem was a wonderful fortress. Its walls were strong, the towers were strong. Perhaps this was the days of Hezekiah, we don't know, who strengthened the walls. And the Lord was merciful unto them. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. What does that mean? Well, dear friends, the psalmist came to realize that all that was around him of the city of Jerusalem and all its strength and glory was not their real defense. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. That was their sure defense. The Lord round about his people and a refuge in the midst. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. He goes on to tell of his experience. The kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. They marveled. Perhaps this was the time when Sennacherib came up against Jerusalem in the time of Hezekiah. Perhaps it was the time when the Ethiopian great army came up against Asa. Maybe the time when the kings of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir came up in the days of Jehoshaphat. They were assembled together, but they never came near, not to destroy. Because the Lord was round about his people. Oh, Sennacherib had destroyed, hadn't he? So many of the walls of the other cities of Judah. They'd all succumbed to his power and to his might. But where there was this prayer, where there was this trusting in the God of heaven, where there was this laying all their troubles and all their matter before him, where the Lord himself was their refuge. Dear friends, they passed by together. They were troubled. They hasted away. Their power became as nothing. The safety of the Lord's people was as they were found in him, trusting in him, resting in him, believing in him. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Oh, dear friends, the ships of the Gentiles, all their power which they may have, which they could have brought and did bring against Jerusalem, that was broken. They went away, didn't they? Destroyed. Oh, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness in the midst of the temple. Dear friends, loving kindness is where there's no desert on the part of the one to whom the loving kindness is shown. The loving kindness is in the heart of the one who freely favours and freely gives. This was a beloved people, beloved of their God. And they thought upon this loving kindness, in spite of all their sins, all their shortcomings, all their failings, this God was faithful. It was a never-ending love, a faithfulness, a compassion, a mercy that endures forever. Well, dear friends, this God is the same God today. Is not this God our God? For there is only but one God. What can we say? As we have heard, so have we seen. Dear friends, we often say seeing is believing. Seeing is knowing. Well, we've heard, haven't we, of many things concerning Almighty God. What have we seen? What have we known? We don't have a physical Jerusalem to look at, do we? The Jews still do. Oh, but what a different Jerusalem it is today than it was once there. But dear friends, the gospel speaks of a greater Jerusalem, a greater habitation, a greater place of abode, a spiritual habitation of our God. It's a place prepared through the giving of his only begotten Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who should establish salvation for sinners upon this earth. The scripture speaks, doesn't it, of the walls of salvation. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy if we are surrounded by those walls. Called, gathered in to the sacred truth of the work of Jesus Christ through Calvary's cross. Walk about Zion. Oh, this glorious Zion. John the Apostle saw, didn't he, in his vision, the Lamb slain upon Mount Zion, slain from the foundation of the earth, his blood spilt, the sacrifice for sin, that without that shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. Oh, dear friends, and for an eye by faith to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As we have heard, so have we seen. To behold the beauty of Christ, yes, in even all his suffering. That languishing eye always looks from Calvary, shedding his blood for the guilt of the sins of all his own, even that Peter who had just denied him with oaths and curses. That the walls of salvation should be established. Oh, this dwelling place of his own people. Called under the power of the Spirit to look unto Jesus as guilty sinners seeking to enter in to his habitation. We in him and he in us. Well, dear friends, walk about Zion, go round about her. Mark her well, her bulwarks, tell or count the towers thereof. Friends, how sweet it is, isn't it, to meditate upon the things of Christ. All those great towers, you know, towers, they are the strength, aren't they, of those walls. They are certain, secure places. Let me think, the tower, yes, of his enduring mercy, his never failing love. Oh, that amazing grace, as we might say. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that ye by his poverty might be made rich. Rich to all the intents of bliss. Oh, that wondrous tower of the shedding of his blood, his death, his wondrous resurrection, his glorious ascension. It is finished. The work is complete. Dear friends, it's a perfect work, as the earth was made perfect in the day of that first creation, so is this perfect work of Christ, of the new creation. And God is the glory, and Christ the glory in the midst, the refuge. The refuge for sinners, as we sometimes sing. Refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known, found in the merits of Jesus alone. And there, dear friends, we can contemplate his loving kindness, can't we? Why me, why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? How sweet to think and meditate upon the precious work of Christ and that secure habitation in which a safe soul is found. None shall ever pluck thee out of my hand. Oh, what Christ has done, it has been done forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Well, dear friends, as we have heard, so have we seen. Have you seen for your own self this glorious work by faith, this work of Christ to the saving of your soul? Well, you can then, can't you, come in with the psalmist here, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Now the scripture says that ye may tell it, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Not just what you've heard. Although, dear friends, there is a telling, isn't there, of things what we've heard of the Lord's goodness in days gone by. The wonderful things he's done, yes, even concerning our own land, to bring us to a privilege that we have tonight. There is a looking and a learning of the good hand of God through the ages. But dear friends, how more so than what he has done for me. What he has made me realize of his goodness and his mercy. the preciousness of that work of grace. Well, the psalmist here says, mark her well, her bulwarks, consider her palaces, those precious things, those sweet places of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Now, friends, I felt led to read in Isaiah 38, the Lord knows why, concerning this man Hezekiah. He'd heard much, hadn't he? And he'd been taught much of the ways of God. Through what he'd heard, he sought to obey the word and the law as it was contained in the books of Moses. He lived and he honoured God. And he acted himself, behaved himself very wisely in many things. And the Lord was with him. The Lord helped him. The Lord prospered his way. But dear friends, he came into an experience which brought him to the brink of death. It was a sickness. And he was ill prepared to die. He turned his face to the wall. He wept sore. His own good works were nothing now. All that he had done and in and of himself could not save him. No one else that stood round about him, all his servants, could not deliver him from that which the Lord had said. He declared that his life was being cut off. But did you notice those words? Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. Dear friends, there's a solemn confession there. I have cut off like a weaver my life. I believe there's a confession there from Hezekiah's heart. I, through my sin, have provoked the Lord to bring his judgment upon me. This is the consequence of my sin. Dear friends, have any of you been there? Have any of you there now? You're in a low state, aren't you? The sin of your heart is the greatest burden and darkness you've ever known. And you cannot deliver yourselves from it. Oh, you can look to your past life. But that cannot do anything for you. You cannot plead your own good works for a deliverance from the consequence of your sin. Because sin has been mixed with all you do. We're all as an unclean thing. Our righteousnesses are as silver rag, as filthy rags, the scriptures tell us. And dear friends, all that is known in the head concerning the word of God won't do us any good. Hezekiah reckoned that his life would be cut off, and that from that morning to the evening, the Lord would make an end of him. Oh, dear friends, it's a fearful thing to believe the Lord will make an end of you, isn't it? That you perish in your sin. But dear friends, this was for Hezekiah's good. He had heard. Now he was going to see. Now he was going to know. Isn't it like Job, who comes to my mind? Job in his deep trouble, his deep sorrow. Oh, all his troubles that he passed through regarding the loss of all that he possessed, and his own poverty of ill health and on the brinks of death and of great sorrow, sorely tempted and tried by those who were round about him, the so-called friends. But dear friends, it was for his good. The Lord appeared and brought out from Job this glorious confession. I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh, a view by faith of the glorious goodness, mercy, the power of God. Oh, a greater knowledge than we can ever hear through just the hearing of the ear. An experience which is for the saving of our soul. Now this was what Hezekiah came into, wasn't it? He cried out, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. That's all he could do. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Dear friends, whatever has been your case or circumstance, have you been there? Did he hear your cry? Did he condemn your soul to death? Did he cut you off from the land of the living? Did he give you a good hope through grace? Did he, by his good hand and mercy upon you, restore life, not only in body but in your soul? Did he not become your light and your salvation? Or could you not enter in with what Hezekiah has said? The Lord was ready to save me. In love to my soul he hath delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Dear friends, this is the work of God's grace, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Revealed in your heart by the Holy Ghost. This is the salvation of sinners. I am he that blotteth out all thy transgressions and will remember them no more. He goes on to say, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. You can praise the Lord truly now, can't you? From the depths of your heart. You may have been thankful before for many providential mercies. But it wasn't a thanksgiving and a praise like it is now, was it? He's delivered you from the pit of corruption. He's delivered you from the depths of hell, which you deserved on account of sin. He's raised you from the dust like a beggar to set you as princes in the kingdom of heaven. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Is any of you like that? Then Hezekiah says, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, dear friends, what an emphasis there is, isn't there, in the scripture of speaking of these things, what the Lord hath truly done for the salvation of your soul. Go about the bulwarks, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, all what he has done for you, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Dear friends, why was that? The Jews put emphasis, didn't they, on the speaking of the things the Lord had done. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Why? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Oh, dear friends, we think of the solemn state of the Church of Christ, don't we? Do we speak well enough of Him? Do we tell of those things which we have known and felt as we should? Are we tempted by great fear that we are boasting, that we're lifting up ourselves? Are we tempted? Oh, the scripture says we shall not, should not cast our pearls before swine. Dear friend, Satan will use many, even a word of scripture. He'll use many things to keep your tongue silent and to keep those lips shut. The exhortation of God, dear friends, is to speak of those things to the praise and the honour and glory of God, that they may be heard as the truth in the ears of those who are growing up. Dear friends, religion is not just theory, is it? True religion. Yes, like we, in our younger days, we heard many things from the scripture. But it wasn't the same, was it, as when we came to know the power of that word in our own heart? And how perhaps we love to hear of those speak of these things. What the Lord had done for them, how it appeared to their soul, and how it appeared to supply their need, how he appeared in the answering of prayer, and so on and so forth. Dear friends, did not this have an effect upon us? To make us desire these things for our own selves. You see, when we speak of these things, what the Lord hath done, it's with a prayerful desire, isn't it? It's in humble confession before God of what He's done for our soul. And that what we have experienced of Him, may He also do for others. That it may be in the ears and the hearts, the souls of those to whom we speak, the soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love. They become humble seekers for themselves. God be merciful to me, a sinner. To pray to be renewed within and reconciled to God. To have our conscience washed from sin in the Redeemer's blood. Almighty God and the power of His word is not the imagination of the mind. It's a living word, it's a living truth and the reality and experience of the soul for whom Christ died. And it's the only way that we can be delivered from that wrath that is to come. And yes, it's appointed unto us once to die, and after that the judgment. Dear friends, if we are not judged in and through Christ, who hath given His life a sacrifice for sin, then we shall perish, aren't we, in that dreadful place where His mercy never comes. Oh, to speak of these things, that there is a way. There is a way that leads unto everlasting life. And that way is the way of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, when Moses came into the borders of the promised land on the other side, Jordan, he exhorted the people so, didn't he? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. In other words, dear friends, we keep them to the forefront of our minds, what the Lord has done for us, to consider him who endured the cross. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. Oh, dear friends, what a responsibility to those for whom the Lord hath blessed and redeemed. They are to speak of these things to the generations following, to their own children. When are they to speak of this? Well, Moses, I believe, goes on to say, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, at all times. Ever mindful of what the Lord has done for our soul, walking in the light and the knowledge of that wondrous truth, trusting in him, O Christ before, Christ in all things concerning us, and to be in all our conversation. Oh, dear friends, how we fail, don't we? Yes, there is to be the preaching of the word of God. It may be the Lord will call one of you into such a way as that, to declare the truth unto the generation following. Yes, there's the work of the Sunday school. And we pray the Lord's blessing upon that, men and women, mothers in Israel, lovingly instructing the children concerning the way of truth. But dear friends, there's this individual responsibility that we tell it to the generations following, the things concerning the Lord and his mercy and his truth. And perhaps not only in speaking. I noticed, as we read in Isaiah 38, you know, we can read the word again and again and we don't notice some things, do we? But when I started reading at verse 9, the first thing was the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, it is a good thing to leave an account in the writing, in writing what the Lord has done for your soul. It's not for your honour, it's not for your glory. No, it's for the glory of God, and in the hope, the prayerful hope, that the Lord can even instill through that a desire in the heart of some unbeliever that they come to know these things for themselves. You know, it was John Bunyan. John Bunyan went through a stage of his life when he was very self-righteous. And going to Bedford one day to do his tinkering business, he heard some women speaking on their doorsteps. They were speaking of what the Lord had done for their soul. He went near, he hearkened, he realized they got something, they knew something he did not know. And this instilled within him that great prayerful desire that he may know the same things for himself. And that was really the beginning dear friends of his, seeking a right of God for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of his soul. Oh, let us not hold back in speaking of what the Lord has done for us, that ye may tell it to the generation following. You know, dear friends, in these things, and in the prayerful desire that they may be used to the honour and glory of God, then, dear friends, where there's that coming together in the knowledge of what the Lord has done, there is then a true unity, isn't there? The unity of the Spirit. Or there may be a natural love, but now there's a spiritual bond. And how great, dear friends, is that spiritual bond when one and another can speak together of the goodness of God. Yes, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, no matter what their age, older generation, younger generation. Oh, how we look for this, don't we, in our churches today. And this is the unity, isn't it, of the last verse of that psalm. For this God is our God. There's the unity. Oh, how precious and sweet and pleasant it is, isn't it, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Flows down to all aspects of our lives. Every moment, everything of it. The blessed unity of the Spirit. The fellowship of the brethren through Jesus Christ. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Why, what did the psalmist say earlier? As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. Well, dear friends, may the Lord establish you here as a church and a people. Forever. From generation to generation. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. Oh, what's this? Psalm 145. One generation shall praise thy name unto another. Oh, the Lord bless his word here amongst you. And when that blessing, dear friends, it comes, the word in power to set your soul at liberty, do not hinder from speaking of it. Have you got anything to say? Agrippa said to Paul, didn't he? Thou art permitted to speak for thyself, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and we also hope to hold a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock on Lord's Day morning. And Mr. Sayers is expected to preach next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 318. God of eternal love, how fickle are our ways, and yet how oft did Israel prove thy constancy and grace. 318.
Lord, is not the words of our closing hymn the words that define our case? So fickle, so false, yet thou so mighty to save, so gracious. Then help us to give thee openly all the praise. Be with us as we separate. Watch over us, Lord, day by day. Keep us in thy tender fear. Deliver us in times of temptation. Keep us from Satan's power. Lord, save us unto the end. Then may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.